Historically black communities in the South often face a range of economic and political challenges. Many were built during the Reconstruction era on land considered undesirable by white residents. Today, some communities still face challenges when it comes to access to clean water and sanitation. A new documentary project called In Conditions of Fresh Water explores the legacy of structural racism on people in Alamance County in North Carolina and Lowndes County in Alabama. The project is currently on display at the Duke Center for Documentary Studies. Danielle Purifoy is a co-creator of the project, and she's also a lawyer and environmental social scientist. Danielle, welcome to our program. Good to have you here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Omega Wilson. He's president and co-founder of the West End Revitalization Association. It's a community development organization that works to improve life for residents in Alamance County, North Carolina. Welcome back, Omega.
Thank you very much.
And joining us also is Catherine Flowers, a native of Lowndes County, Alabama, the founder of the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise, and also in residence at Duke. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Our pleasure. Danielle, I want to start with you because you partnered with an artist to pull together this project. Tell us about your partner and kind of what's behind the project.
Sure. My partner's name is Torquase Dyson. She is a visual artist that is based in Brooklyn and currently an art lecturer at Yale University. I met Torquase back in 2014. I was looking to connect with other African-American women who were working on environmental justice and race and space generally. And what happened was there was a visiting artist grant that opened up at Duke. I forwarded along to her, and she said, well, why don't we do something together? And that's kind of how the project was born. I was at the time doing some research on historic black towns in the postbellum era and learning a little bit about how the sort of histories of where a lot of these black towns were placed were on undesirable lands, as you said, and created a sort of structural environmental inequality that was reproduced over years through and access to basic infrastructure, basic amenities, as Omega Wilson says, like access to clean water and wastewater sanitation infrastructure, sidewalks, paved roads, all of those things that contribute to the growth and economic development of a town. And Torquase liked the idea, and so we ran with it. And so we've been working on this for about 2 years.
How did you choose Alamance County in North Carolina and Lowndes County in Alabama?
Sure. So I have been attending the North Carolina Environmental Justice Summits, which happen every October for a little bit. And that's how I met Omega Wilson, probably back in 2013. So I'd already known about their project. And then I'm a student at a PhD candidate at the Nicholas School of the Environment at Duke. And Catherine came and gave a keynote lecture in October of 2014 about the wastewater sanitation and infrastructure challenges in Lowndes County. I ended up doing a research project that following summer. And the parallels between the two places in terms of their history and in terms of the infrastructure challenges really made it an interesting project to do as a kind of comparative study.
Well, Omega Wilson, tell us about Alamance County and what are some of the challenges?
Well, some of the challenges date back to the end of slavery in 1865, where communities, there are several communities in and around the city of Mebane. Mebane City Limits is now in Orange and Alamance County, where freed slaves were placed or allowed to buy property in these kind of little hostel-type communities. They've been there. Cemeteries, churches with cornerstones dating all the way back to 1868. Several 100-year-old churches in these communities. The one that I was born and raised in and went to school in is West End. Another one that is part Native American and African American north of Mebane is White Level. And Buckhorn and Perry Hill, a twin community of similar age and old cemeteries, is just in the Orange County side. And most of these communities, as far as infrastructure is concerned, have basically stayed frozen very much as the city of Mebane is identified as the fastest growing city in Alamance County, one of the fastest growing in the state, and right now exploding with one of the largest mega industrial and distribution parks being built in the eastern part of the United States.
But you find that the communities you're talking about aren't even hooked up to the sanitation systems or the water systems in the same way that the residents of Mebane are.
Exactly. What happened in 1999, we filed a complaint against the North Carolina Department of Transportation, the city of Mebane, Alamance County, with the Department of Justice, relative to a plan to build a interstate corridor, eight-lane interstate corridor right through Mebane, right through where my wife and I live, as a matter of fact, right through the cemetery where slaves were buried and people who were born into slavery and died free or buried, with the cornerstones actually saying exactly that. People are still being buried there, called a community cemetery, literally right across the street from our home. And at the site where interviews were done with Danielle and Taquazi and photographs were taken for the project. And what has happened is a growth related to the highway corridor was to build a huge industrial park and a distribution park. But a lot of the growth has excluded these communities. Mm-hmm. We've been marginalized. Now, West End part has gotten some sewer connections for 100 and some houses, but about 104 houses, but there are over 500 in the other communities that still have not been touched, even though the city of Mebane is doing a new growth plan, a long-term mm-hmm. growth plan, to expand the city by thousands. And that growth plan, again, excludes these communities.
Catherine Flowers, how do things look in Lowndes County, Alabama?
Well, Lowndes County is, as you know, is located between Selma and Montgomery, and lots of people come through there often, but people don't realize that a great majority of the people in the county live with raw sewage on the ground. And that's because the soil doesn't perk. That's the rate in which the soil absorbs water. Also, there are high water tables, so the cost of an on-site system is very expensive, more than the average person there can afford, and it's one of the poorest counties in Alabama, one of the poorest in the country. And as a result, there's raw sewage running on the ground. The people that do have on-site systems have complained that they don't function properly. When it rains, especially with the climate changing and we're seeing more and more rain events, the sewage backs up into the house and can come in either through a sink or a bathtub. And we've also seen instances where in one town that has a lagoon and there's a street that runs alongside the area where the lagoon is located with houses on either side. And when it rains, it overflows not only through the backyards of the people on the side that lines that street, but on the opposite side of the street as well. And we have actually partnered with Baylor's National School of Tropical Medicine and collected fecal, soil, water, and blood samples in our preliminary results, which we have not published yet. In an unpublished study, we're going to reveal that we found some evidence of tropical parasites that are emerging in the area because of these conditions.
Mm. And how does it compare to other places around it? Is this a strictly rural area, or are there cities and sort of urban areas around the places we're talking about?
It's between Selma and Montgomery, but we found out that this problem is throughout the Black Belt region of the United States, and Lowndes County is just exemplary of how people have looked the other way, and there has been no public investment in dealing with this. In Montgomery, which is not that far away, Montgomery has public infrastructure, and I'm sure that a lot of the infrastructure in Montgomery was funded by public funds. We probably find the same thing in Selma, Alabama, although there's some areas outside of Selma that have the same problem. So in the rural communities, the way I've termed it, Flint was flawed infrastructure. In a lot of these rural communities, there's no infrastructure, and there's been no infrastructure investment, and it's been left on the backs of homeowners, in a lot of cases people that are poor and people that are minority.
In Conditions of Fresh Water, it is an art exhibit and a documentary exhibit on display at Duke Center for Documentary Studies through June. We're talking with some of the participants. Catherine Flowers is the founder of the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise. Omega Wilson, president and co-founder of the West End Revitalization Association in Alamance County. And Danielle Purifoy, the co-creator of the documentary project. And our conversation on the state of things will continue in a moment. Please stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. We're talking about a documentary art project on display at the Duke Center for Documentary Studies. We're talking about historically black communities in the South facing a range of economic and political challenges that often involve environmental racism. In Conditions of Fresh Water explores the legacy of structural racism on people in Alamance County, North Carolina, and Lowndes County, Alabama. We're talking with Danielle Purifoy, who's the co-creator of the project, and also Omega Wilson, president and co-founder of the West End Revitalization Association, and Catherine Flowers, a native of Lowndes County, Alabama, which is also included in this project. Danielle, tell us more about the process then and how this project summarizes some of what you do and also exhibits some of what you found.
Sure. So what we did, Torquase Dyson actually built what's called Studio South Zero. It's a mobile solar-powered art studio, and it can be converted and used in a number of different ways, and we decided to use it as an interview space. So we traveled, we spent about a month traveling last summer. We traveled first to Alamance County to the communities just outside of Mebane. We spent 2 weeks there interviewing people, taking oral histories, asking everything about people's favorite memories growing up in the area to what they remember about the infrastructure growing up to what they want the futures of the places to look like. And so we did that in both 2 weeks in Alamance County and 2 weeks in Lowndes County. So we had a total of about 30 interviews. Some were up to 2 hours long. And so the exhibit actually has what we're calling a mixtape of snippets from a lot of those interviews, about 40 minutes total. We have portraits of most of the participants in the project. And then we also on Torquase is an abstract artist, and so her work really takes a sort of at a distance look at the projects, thinking about structurally how these places were designed. So if you go in the galleries where her work is displayed, there's a very sort of minimalist architectural like display of artwork. And if you go into the other gallery, which is our process room, it has more of the kind of up close and personal documentary of the project, with the interviews, with the photographs, with all of the sort of documentation over the years of the histories of struggle of these two places.
Omega Wilson, I know that you have you and Catherine Flowers both have been working for years to bring attention to these kinds of problems. How do you think this documentary art project contributes to that?
Well, the work that Torquase has done and Daniel has done, and the work we've been doing for 20-some years, has created some positive results. We have to put that as a part of the story. And, of course, we've gotten some work done, of course, including getting some residents tapped into the sewer line, getting the highway corridor modified so it doesn't destroy so many houses and cemeteries. And one of the biggest things is a lot of community groups in the state of North Carolina, from the coast to Baden beyond Greensboro, asked for our assistance to help facilitate some of the concerns where they hadn't gotten as much progress on various issues like this. So what we did is worked out a cooperative deal with the Environmental Protection Agency, United States Environmental Protection Agency. We started working on this quite a while ago. And it culminates on the 24th and 25th in Mebane, where we asked the city of Mebane, they wanted to reach out and try to get a more positive image of Mebane. Some of the city officials are no longer there. Some of the employees, most of the city council is still the same, but they want to create a better look. So we asked them, well, can we have a meeting in Mebane, not just for the West End Revitalization Association, but over a dozen other communities throughout the state? So there's going to be a North Carolina Community Solutions Workshop, and it's going to be co-facilitated and co-hosted by the West End Revitalization Association, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality with the staff members of the new secretary, Michael Regan's office, who are going to look at these communities, bringing several state, county, and federal agencies to the table for this two-day meeting to talk about what the federal responsibility is, following the tax money, following the voters, and following this is that these amenities should be provided to citizens. So this is part of the culmination of what we've been doing for 22 years.
So, Catherine Flowers, that's a little bit of what's happening in North Carolina. You compared the situation, the rural America, particularly black rural America, to what happened in Flint, which, of course, got a lot of attention. Do you see more attention coming to this problem? Are we becoming more aware, and how does the future look?
Yes, I think that more attention is coming to this problem, especially once the Baylor study is published. I think it's going to focus a lot of attention to this problem.
That's the health. Forgive me for interrupting, but that's the health study on the health effects of poor sanitation.
Of people living amongst raw sewage. And once it's revealed that there's evidence of tropical parasites, which are generally found in third world countries, I think that it will shock most Americans to know that we have people living in those kinds of conditions. And more recently, there have been reports about what's happening in Washington with EPA and the president's recent budget, which will cut funding for the Environmental Justice Office, which has helped communities like Lowndes County. And what we're going to be doing is highlighting how it impacts people on the ground right now, where there have been no sustainable solutions put in place. So we're hoping that with elevating our story and the voices of people that are living in these conditions, hopefully we can find some people in the White House, as well as Scott Pruitt, who will make sure that funding is in place to eliminate these types of problems.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Catherine Flowers is the founder of the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise, currently in residence at Duke. Omega Wilson is the president and co-founder of the West End Revitalization Association. And Danielle Purifoy is the co-creator of the documentary project In Conditions of Fresh Water, and is also a lawyer and environmental social scientist. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you for having us, Frank. Appreciate it.
In Conditions of Fresh Water is on exhibit at the Duke Center for Documentary Studies through June 3rd.